It's December the 16th, 2014, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. This is PJ. Oh, for those of you that are listening to me internationally in the United States of America, this is still the United States. We are united. We can differ with one another. We can have very loud and poignant opinions of one another. But this is still the United States of America. In my last theological webcast, I was speaking about my love for the beauty of my country and for what she is. Oh, there's a hell of a lot of things that she is not. You would be one of the first to agree with me about that. She's not a country that's learned how to get along within the confines of race yet. A lot of deep scars, a lot of pain. You think that you're the only one that has pain during this time of the year? Let's go back into the Bible. Go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 14. This is the way it reads. It's a nice verse. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Ah, here we see the angel speaking to Zechariah. Thank you, Dave Brubeck, with that run of the keys. Dave Brubeck and his Christmas album, one of the best albums that I have in my collection. It's just so defining what Christmas has been to me and was like in me. And I hope that your holiday season this year is a wonderful one. I plan to have a great time. As a result of this elderly couple's faithfulness to God and their vigilant anticipation of the day of salvation, they would be personally involved in the advent of the kingdom of God. Joy. Oh my goodness. Joy, gladness, rejoice. Their favorite terms for the writer of the book, Luke, the beloved physician. They reflect the joy that accompanies the experiencing of God's salvation. Joy is contrasted here with the joy that will be shared by the many who would experience the salvation of God. And that brings me to a very important point. Because I was on the internet, and often I am on the internet, and I came across an article, an interesting article, why some Christians don't celebrate Christmas. I'm just adjusting my bike. It's an article by Jared Ost. And it's taken from the Good News magazine. And I think it would be good for me to read this and to share this information with you. Many feel that Christmas marks Christ's birthday and that it honors him. After all, can 2 billion professing Christians be wrong? At the same time, some few Christians don't observe Christmas, believing that Jesus didn't sanction it and that it dishonors him. Who is right and why? Oh, good approach. Now, if you're riding in your car and you can't read the article, or you're on the train on your way to work or on your way to school and can't read the article along with me, let me do commentary as I give theology. Thank you, Dave. As I give theology to this, I think this wonderful comment, this wonderful comment. One day years ago, someone asked me why I didn't keep Christmas. The Bible says to keep it. I responded, somewhere in the Gospel of Luke, it speaks of the nativity scene. An angel told some shepherds that were keeping their sheep in the fields at night that the baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I think they went to see Jesus at that time. That was the first Christmas. And that's why I keep Christmas, because the Bible supports Christmas, the birthday of Jesus Christ. And then this person replied and said, that's not true. And here's why, my friend replied. I soon learned that the Bible didn't teach Christmas. No, it doesn't. It doesn't teach it everywhere. And let me agree with the writer of that article. You will not find Christmas in this book. No, you won't. Now I'll continue to read the article. It says it also found that its origins have nothing to do with the Bible. It was an important lesson about things I'd long assumed to be true. Just because some 2 billion people, roughly 1 billion Catholics and the other billion in Protestant faiths, observe Christmas, does that make it right? Does it really matter one way or the other? Now, let me try to answer that right now, because I think that that is a wonderful question to ask at this time of the year. Just the right question at this time of the year. Because it brings us to another question. Why do so many people observe it? Why? If you were asked, why do you celebrate Christmas? How would you respond, this writer asked. Many would say Christmas honors the birthday of Jesus. Others feel that Christmas is a good Christian family get-together. Many do it simply because they've always done it. Now, I'm hanging between the second to the last and the last. I do it because I've always done it. I put some decorations up on my kitchen table and on the china cabinet. That's all I have. Three little trinkets about Christmas. And I've done it out of habit. And I like the family get together. I like the joy that it brings when people come around. Christmas can appear tantalizing to the eye and to the ear. People appear happy, generous, and full of good cheer. Twinkling lights decorate many houses. Santa Claus and his reindeer are pictured and poised to list off of the snow-covered front yards of rooftops. Although in the southern hemisphere, the tropics, there is no December snow. The colorful, peaceful appearing Christmas scene can be intoxicating and addicting. And the writer is correct, absolutely. Shoppers pack the stores, browsing the gifts that they hope to buy to bargain for in the bargain basement prices. Soaring strains of White Christmas, Silent Night, or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer resonate everywhere. The December weather, oh, and I hear it's cold in Chicago. The December weather of the northern hemisphere might be frightful outside, but the feeling of warmth inside is delightful. That's true. Christmas trees, the twinkling lights, of bright, sparkling ornaments creates a mystical and glowing environment. Entire families want to experience this special mystery that only comes with the Christmas season. Oh, I love all those things. I've always loved them, me personally. There's no religious holiday quite like it for the millions everywhere that observe it. Then another question that needs to be asked is, was Jesus really born on December the 25th? But stop and ask yourself, was Christ really born on Christmas Day? After all, the Bible nowhere tells us the day of his birth. In fact, most credible secular historical writings tell us that Christmas, more than 200 years after Jesus' death, was considered sinful. As late as AD 245, the early Catholic theologian Origen repudiates as sinful the very idea of keeping the birthday of Christ. You can find that in the Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, 1910, volume 6, page 293, under Christmas. I wouldn't go that far. Who's Origen? Who's Origen? I know who Origen is. Origen is the one that came up with the great definition of sin, the lack of, by St. Origen. And so the lack of conformity to the revealed will of God and the refusal of the creature to be related to his creator by faith. That's St. Origen. And he believed that Christmas was a sin. Well, I don't think that it's a sin, an abomination, but oh well. In AD 354, a Latin chronographer mentioned Christmas, but even when he did not write about it as an observed festival. Basically, there's no biblical evidence that December 25th, that is Jesus' birth date. In fact, the Bible record strongly shows that Jesus could not have been born then, if you really study the chronology of God's word. This writer is correct. For example, Luke tells us that the shepherds were keeping their sheep in the fields at night when Jesus was born, and she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. But late December is Judea's cold and rainy season. Would the shepherds actually keep their fragile flocks out in the open fields on a cold late December night near Bethlehem? Well, I'm going to tell you, with the changing weather patterns in Southern California due to the chemtrails and all the other foolishness that these people are spraying up into our upper atmosphere, and with the so-called melting of the ice caps and everything being thrown off and us killing the environment, anything could happen. I don't know what the weather was some 2,000 years ago, so that's not a good argument. Then the article goes on and says, no responsible shepherd would subject his sheep to the elements at that time of year when cold rains and occasional snow are common in that region. That may be true, but you don't know whether it was snowing then. You're just taking a hypothetical guess, all right? Because, see, once you have one document in the record of the Bible untrue, then all of it is untrue. If you find one lie in that book, then the whole book is a lie. That's the way you do the Bible. Okay? Then it says, the climate of Palestine is not so severe as the climate of this country in England. I guess that's why where this guy wrote this article from. But even there, through the heat of the day to be considerably cold of the night in December to February, it is piercing, and it is not the custom of shepherds of Judea to watch the flock in the open fields later than about the end of October. Okay. All right, you're going to give me all of these answers, but still, you weren't there. You don't know that. Wait a minute. He uses another argument here. He says, Luke also tells us that Jesus was born at the time of the census ordered by the Roman emperor in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. That's correct. The Romans were brilliant administrators and certainly would not have ordered people to journey to the register at that time of year when roads would have been wet and muddy, traveling conditions miserable. Such a move would have been self-defeating on his face. Well, you know, that's subject to your crazy interpretation of what the Romans did back in that time. Because they were brilliant administrators doesn't mean that they will enforce that rule. Everybody went to that place to be counted, just like you're going to pay your taxes on time. So I reject that. Oh, man, that's why I see reading these articles on the internet. You got to use some more than common sense, because some of these people have went a little nuts here. The article goes on and says the belief that Jesus was born on or around the 25th simply has no basis. In fact, even if 2 billion people have accepted it without question, as the famous playwright George Bernard Shaw said, if 50 million people believe a foolish thing, it is still a foolish thing. Well, I tell you what, buddy, I want to believe, not necessarily that he was born on the 25th, I'm just so happy that God sent his son into the world to save a decrepit wretch like me. As a matter of fact, like the decrepit wretch that wrote the article. He asked another question. Does Christmas really honor Christ? Now, let's see if he's right on this point. Thus far, this is good. If the Christmas holiday is an important celebration to honor the birth of Jesus Christ, why is it nowhere mentioned in the Bible? Why didn't Christ instruct his closest followers, his 12 chosen apostles, to keep Christmas? Why didn't they institute or teach it to the early church? Let me answer this stream of ridiculous questions. First part, if the Christmas holiday is, and I have no books or anything open in front of me, just this lunatic's article here, says, if the Christmas holiday is an important celebration to honor the birth of Jesus Christ, why is it nowhere mentioned in the Bible? I'll tell you why. Because all the people that belong to Christ and belong to God, without an edict from any man, from Europe, from Africa, from the north or to the south, will worship Christ any day of the year, any time they want. And if I want to choose my birthday, February 8th, to worship and honor Christ, that is my duty to do so if I want to. Second part of your question, why didn't Christ instruct his closest followers, his 12 chosen apostles, to keep Christmas? Because that would make him all human and not divine. That would mean that he would have had an ego trip. And I cannot worship a God that has a human ego trip. That doesn't work. What's the third part of the question? Why didn't they institute or teach it to the early church? Here again, because the early church were worshiping God in spirit and in truth. John, the writer in the book of John, said that the Father seeketh such to worship him. All right, let me keep reading this article. He says, before you answer, consider that Jesus gave great authority to his 12 apostles. Not that kind. Let me say that, not that kind. He didn't give no worldly. See, that's what happened to the church. You have ungodly people reading a holy book and putting that way. It is no wonder the Taliban want to cut off our heads over here. You don't think that the Bible is a holy book? The Hagia Biblos cannot be interpreted through your humanistic means and ways. My goodness. Wait a minute. Before I answer that question, he gave his 12 apostles a lot of authority, great authority, this writer says, assuring them that they would hold positions of great importance and the responsibility in the kingdom. I've read Matthew 18:18 and Luke 22:29-30, and I know what those verses mean. I know what they mean. They don't mean what this cat says it means. I better go to it. See, this is a theology lesson. So let me get my Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. This is good. And you know what? I'm telling you guys something. Whenever you read some of this stuff over the internet, that's what you need to do. You need to challenge these fools. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you know what this authority Jesus is talking about to his disciples? He was saying, when you pick up who I am through the Spirit of my Heavenly Father in heaven, of whom I am in front of you, when you pick up the illuminate spirit that I'm doing, you shall remember everything that I tell you within the context, the perfect context, mind you, of what I'm saying. And if I said it and you said it, then it will be done. That's not human authority, like authority over a church, a great responsibility over a ministry or something like that. Jesus is not that kind of a savior. He is a savior of our sin-sick souls. So this writer is writing from a humanistic vantage point. It's no wonder you don't recognize Christmas for what it truly is. You've been linked and twerped. Oh my God, this is sad. He gave me Luke 22:29-30. Oh, let me go there. It's always wonderful to read your Bible and to know your Bible. And you know what? When you don't know your Bible, that's when you get in trouble, especially when you write articles like that. Luke 22:29 reads like this. Just as my Father hath granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what's wrong with that? I know what he's saying. The disciples were Jews. And this is in fulfillment of the Old Testament. Man, come on. The 12 tribes of Israel, they would open up the law the way it's supposed to be, because Jesus, being the fulfillment of the law, would give it to them. And in the kingdom to come, of which I as a Christian will be a part of, if I obey God and love him and honor him and extol him and worship him, we'll be up there with them. But they will be judging the 12 tribes that had all of the facts and turned their back on it, like many so-called professing Christians claim that they have the facts but turned their back on them. Then this writer goes on and says, but since Jesus never taught his apostles to keep Christmas, nor did they ever teach it to the church, though they had years and opportunity to do so, shouldn't it make us question whether Christmas is something Jesus really wants or appreciates? Well, I don't think Jesus really cares, to answer the question. He really don't care because, number one, he knows that we're all depraved sinners. He knows that we as humans would do the craziest kind of crap in a minute. That's why we have to go to him and bow and ask for forgiveness of our daily sins. See, I don't go to the mall shopping, buying gifts and all that. I put up two little trinkets in my kitchen because I like the color of green and red. And the little shiny things, sparkling, the lights. I may go out and get some lights. I threw all of them out right after Lucy died. But I should go and get one little stream of lights and just put it on the mantle and just let them blink. I mean, what do you mean, would Jesus be pleased with that? Are you out of your mind? But you got to be careful how you read people. So how did Christmas become so widespread, this article asks? A widespread practice, if the Bible doesn't sanction it, if Christ didn't observe it, and if he never taught his disciples and the early church or the early church to celebrate it? I can answer all those questions in one flat, because I want to. Nobody has a gun to your head. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. Then in the section called The Origins of Christmas, listen to this. Most people never stop to ask themselves what the major symbols of Christmas, Santa Claus, reindeer, decorated trees, holly, mistletoe, and the like, have to do with the birth of the Savior of mankind. So this person is obviously a believer, but they are adamantly torn about this issue of Christmas. Mind your own business, brother. You don't have to celebrate that, especially if you're going to come over here and tell my African-American brothers and sisters not to celebrate it. Are you crazy? We've always liked shiny things and gaudy stuff. Look at all the weaves. The black women weave in their hair all kind of colors. Purple, green, red. White folk like that too. This is America. You have to understand, we got a strange way to like all that stuff. Then they go on. I'm not even going to try to answer that. Wait, let me read the whole article. It says, the fact is that you can verify this in any number of books and encyclopedias and all that. Man, we know that. Who you think you're talking to, really? This is ridiculous. It says, even the date December 25th came from a festival celebrating the birth of the ancient sun god Mithras. Okay, if you'd like to learn more about the origins of many Christmas symbols associated with Christmas, request a free booklet that they're giving out. It's called Holiday or Holy Days. Holidays or Holy Days. Does it matter which day we keep? Look, let me say this. There are no such thing as holy days. Every day is holy that I'm alive unto the Lord. And if I need a holiday, hey, somebody, Martin Luther King died, right? Next thing I know, a day in January is a national holiday. Now, you think I'm going to go to that college and try to work when it's a holiday? What's the matter with you? You out of your mind? I tell you what, you go to work. Work every day of your life. Well, let me leave it alone. Jesus, I'm continuing to read this article. This is, oh man. No, you know what? I think I'm going to stop right here. Let me read one more sentence. Jesus never told his followers to celebrate Christmas, but he did warn us not to adhere to false man-made religious doctrines, that they are vain that worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. He quoted Mark 7:7, and that has nothing to do with Christmas being a false doctrine, because nobody's worshiping Christmas. I don't worship reindeers. I don't believe in Santa Claus. I knew when I was a kid that that wasn't real. And then when I studied about all this stuff and the Yuletide and all that stuff, I said, oh, this is just a way of man having a little fun to ease the pain of 12 months. Now, you remember that verse that I read? Didn't get a chance to get into it. Luke chapter 1. Let's go back to that. And I'd like to read verse 14 again. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Now, that's what I'm doing. I don't know who this dude is that wrote that article. I don't know why he's so negative and all of that. But it said that I was going to have some joy. And I have joy now just thinking about the Christ child coming and being here for us in this life, in this world. That is what Christmas means to me. And I think that when people take it too far, because I think that's what this guy has done. He's taken it too far. And that's what evangelicals do. They get on their high horse. And because they don't like something, what they will do is they don't want you to like that something. See, and you want to be careful about that, because if your family loves to celebrate Christmas, if your family loves to have people over and people have food in front of them to eat and all of that, and look at the bright lights and all the other things. There he is. That's Dave in the background. It's a winter wonderland. That's why we do it here in this country. And I say to you, if you have money and you want to spend it, go on and spend it. It's your money. Do whatever you want to do to it. Think about those that don't have as much as you. Think about those that would like a hot meal. Go downtown this year. Feed the people that needs to eat. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Makes a big difference. I'm just walking in a winter wonderland. See them smile. Thank you for joining me for part two of Theology's Code. Read the articles all you want to. This guy's quoting Tertullian and everybody. But you know what? It don't matter, man. Because I like the Christmas music. I'm not worshiping. It's not a false god. It's a happy time in my heart. And when it ends, I'll be right back to the 12-month cycle again. Going through it. Hey, thanks for coming to my website. And guess who loves you during this very special time of the year? Your good friend, PJ, Pastor John, in the Lucy Coleman studio. God bless you, and you know the drill. Stand to the Word of God for yourself, and don't listen to people that can become crackpots with this stuff. It's really not worth it. And pray for the Pakistanis, that terrible, terrible event that took place there at the children's school, over 100 youths dead. God help us. We're living in terrible times. God bless.